Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked at him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
I'm looking forward to next year, the month of February, here in just about 3 months. We're going to baptize in every service, 9, 30, 11, and 6, every Sunday in February. And I'm going to be in the baptistry all those times, those 3 times 4 is 12. We'll baptize 12 times during that month. And I'm thinking I may just preach out of the baptistry one Sunday as we get started. And, you know, we have a lot of people profess faith in Christ and then don't follow through. And we work with them, try to help them, and just have to encourage people to take that step. And so we're going to do that in the month of February, and just look forward to having a great harvest time during February. And so we'll look forward to that, and you be praying, inviting your neighbors. Had one of our sweet ladies back here tonight. She said to me, said, Pastor, I invited one of those boys going to be baptized tonight. Been working on him, and thank the Lord. It's always good. Means a little more when you've had something to do with the person walking through the water. So you be encouraging others to know the Lord and be a part of that. Well, I'm glad you're here on this wonderful Sunday evening as we move into this Thanksgiving week. We've got a lot to give thanks for tonight. You're going to hear a lot about that.
Psalms 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a 10-string lute and with a harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. Anybody happy here tonight because of his love? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited about tonight. I pray that your hearts are changed and made glad tonight when these Charis ladies share tonight. Half of us can't even fathom a day of what they've gone through. I know I can't. My life has been pretty honky-dory. But still, he loves me as much as he loves them. And my heart is open to hear from them tonight. Praying with the praise team a little bit earlier, pray that the anointing is on each of them as they share tonight, and that none of us will leave unchanged tonight, because his love indeed makes us sing. And it's that very love that we respond to tonight. And we praise him.
Amen. Hey, thank you, church family. You be seated for just a moment. And we're going to receive our evening offering shortly. And then the ladies are going to come. And Debbie's going to lead us as they share their heart story with us tonight. Hear the word of God in 1 Corinthians 12, where the Bible says, "For just as the body is one and is many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. We want you to know, brethren, about the grace of God, which has been shown in the churches of Macedonia." We want you to know of the grace that is shown in the churches. That word grace is the word Charis. It's what we named the homes that we have here. The Charis House 1, the Charis House 2. That is a house of grace. The word charisma comes from that word. The word charismatic comes from that word. I have people ask me, "Are you a charismatic?" And I say, "Yes, I am." Because the word charismatic is charismata, which mata is gift, charis is grace. It means you have gifts of grace. Glossolalia is speaking in tongues, not charismatic. Charismatic is the grace gift of God. And friend, if you're not a charismatic, you're lost. So I'm a charismatic. I've received the grace of God. It's his gift to me. I don't deserve it, but God gives it. It's charis. And so when we started the ministry over here, we bought that first little house and did it. Several of the guys I see in here tonight, and ladies too, that worked on that house, went in, tore out, put in another bathroom, and ripped out and put in. And then we bought another house and started it, and we went upstairs and down. And man, it just had to do a lot of work. But people did that. They gave themselves. They showed grace. We didn't pay them to do it. It was a free will offering, because what we wanted to offer was grace. And ladies that come and live in these houses receive not only the grace of God, but we want them to receive the grace of this church, the gift of this church, to help bring them back to a strong walk with the Lord and a life that is meaningful and productive. And so tonight you'll hear those stories, and I'm appreciative of Debbie Jeffcoat, that is our leader there, and she will be leading out in this time of graduation for our ladies from the Charis House. I never get around this crew, but what I don't remember from my friend Iris Blue. Iris is a big woman. She stands 6'1", barefooted, is what she always said. And Iris always, she was just large, and she said, I always wanted to be a little woman, but I never could be little because God made me big. And she said, I wear big flowing clothes. She said, if you're little, flaunt it. If you're big, drape it. That's what she always said. But Iris was a prostitute in Houston, Texas. And she said one day, on a street corner next to a street lamp in downtown Houston, she said, I knelt down a tramp and I got up a lady. And so these ladies come tonight having been touched by the grace of God. And they've knelt at the foot of the cross and they come. Some are very articulate. Some do not have that gift. Some come with confidence. Some stand here tonight nigh scared to death. But they will stand here by grace. And we receive them by grace. And so I want to pray over our offering tonight. When you give, you help do what we're going to talk about tonight. Thank God for grace. Let's pray together. Our wonderful praise team's going to sing, and as they are beginning to sing, the ladies are going to come and be seated. You can just come on right now if you want to, Debbie, and you get in place, and then I'm going to pray, and this great group here in front of me, and by the way, guys, I love y'all. Thanks for all the time you give and help us. That's good. That's a gift of grace, and we're grateful for it, and they're going to sing, and then these ladies going to come as Debbie leads the way. And they'll share. Father, thank you. Thank you for Nolan Ford that told me about Jesus. He shared grace with me. Lord, I join with Leo tonight in saying that I've not known the walk that these ladies have known. But Lord, the same grace that saved me saves them. And Lord, I thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you that, Lord, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, Lord, I pray tonight that the power of testimony of transformation will encourage us. And I pray for that one that's in this room tonight that's never been saved, that they'll understand what these ladies have experienced, they can know as well. Thank you for dedicated givers. And we dedicate our offering now to you. And we give it by faith and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I heard one of them say, this is when we pass out. I am very proud to present tonight our most recent graduates of the Caris House. We have three other residents that are with us right now, but they don't graduate for a few months, so they're not up here. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for your generosity of your time, any form of service that you've given, and any monetary donations that you've contributed. Without all of these, we couldn't do what we do. I want to give praise and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, because it's He and only He that has done what's been done in the hearts and lives of these ladies. I can't fix any of them, nor can the Caris House, nor can all of Baptist. But He is the Redeemer, and He is the Restorer. He redeems the past, and He restores their lives. Statistics show that people who develop a close personal relationship with Jesus stay clean longer term than those who don't have that. And the key to successful rehab is a spiritual rehab, and that's what we try to do. I'd like to briefly share with you what their days consist of. These ladies have a very structured schedule. They get up every morning at 6 a.m., they exercise, they do daily chores, they eat breakfast, and they're ready for devotion at 6:15. Oh, excuse me, at 8:15. I'm rushing y'all, ladies. Y'all want to try it? But they're sitting on the sofa, they're ready, because Jackie's very structured, and she wants them ready at 8:15. So we have a different devotion leader that comes in every day. These are all volunteers. And their classes begin at 9 o'clock until noon every day, Monday through Saturday. They don't get a rest day on Saturday. On Monday evening, they even have an additional class. Tuesday and Friday evenings, they attend Most Excellent Way, and Wednesday evening, they attend a discipleship class here at the church. They watch no television. They listen to no secular music, or as Pastor says, no worldly music, and they read no worldly reading material. They volunteer at the church in the afternoons with Dennis Dean and in the kitchen and in our office, Church Community Ministries. And when they come to the CARES House, I ask them to write 10 positive things about themselves. They all feel unworthy to be there, and they don't understand how God can love them in spite of everything they've done. They stand before you tonight knowing that God has forgiven them and that today is a new day. I'm going to now present to you each lady and let her share her story. I'm only going to disclose their first names for confidentiality purposes. And our first one, I hope I've got these in the order, and I do, is D.
Hello, I'm Dee, and I wish to thank all of Baptists for supporting the CARES House. Hopefully by the end of this evening you will see how effective and vital this program is to our community. I would like to thank Debbie Jeffcoat, Miss Marla, Miss Jackie, Miss Kim, Miss Danita, Aaron, my patient counselor, Miss Mary, who made me stop being a victim and start being a conqueror, and for my family that never stopped believing in me. I was raised in a very strict home. Spare the rod, spoil the child was the motto. Perfection and hard work was demanded. I was taken to a legalistic church where I was taught to fear God and that I had to work hard to keep my salvation, that I had to be perfect or I'd be lost. At 11, I got saved, and I spent the majority of my life working to keep my salvation. I became a workaholic, codependent, people pleaser, filled with enormous fear. At 18, I became a real estate salesman in Florida. At 23, I became a real estate broker and co-owner of a very successful real estate company. And my success became my identity. I was finally in control. At 29, I was introduced to crack cocaine. And I loved crack because it took away the fear and it took away the demand to be perfect. Took a lot more too. Within 6 months, I went from making almost $500,000 a year to broke, homeless, and having lost my two beautiful children. Over the next 10 years, I went through 4 treatment programs, and every time life started looking normal, I would snatch the rug from under me and my family. I thought I'd messed up so much I did not deserve to have a happy life. March 5th, 2008, I came to the CARES House, and I discovered CARES means grace, and that's the one thing I never was taught, and that's grace. 3 days after I got here, I went to jail for the first time. My picture was gone. But jail was not God's plan for me. Through grace, I only had to spend one night, and I was able to return to the CARES House. Over the last 8 months, I have developed a personal relationship with Jesus. I've learned that I don't have to be perfect, that He loves me no matter what. And like Romans 8:39 says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm so thankful that He's that hound of heaven. They track me down every time I strayed off. I no longer wish to destroy my life. The verse God gave me is Galatians 5:1. And it says, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not be enslaved again. Today, I walk in that freedom.
our next graduate is Allie.
I'm one of the ones that's scared to death. I'm so proud to be standing here tonight, clean and sober. I only wish my grandmother could be here to see me, but I know she's watching me from heaven. Her only wish for me was to be clean and sober. And I praise God that before she died, she was able to see me clean and sober. Last year, I learned a scripture, and it's stuck with me ever since. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I love that scripture because it lets me know that no matter what I've done in the past, God loves me anyway. I started doing drugs at the age of 13. I can remember feeling like I was never good enough. Over the years, my drug addiction got worse and worse. I grew up in an alcoholic home, so really that's all I ever knew. I have two beautiful boys named Nicholas and Devin that I love very much. I can remember laying on the bed, looking at their pictures while I was high and drunk, wondering how I got to where I was. How did I get to where I chose drugs and alcohol over my children? When I decided to get set free, I called the Caris House and moved to Pensacola, Florida. I never really knew Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but 3 days after I got to the Caris House, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and 2 weeks later, I was baptized. God has restored my relationship with my children and with my husband. And now I feel like I'm worthy. God has done so much for me in the past 8 months, and I can't wait to see what He's going to do for me in the future. I thank you, church family, Miss Debbie, Miss Marla, Miss Jackie, Debbie George, and Dr. Shrouse, and everybody that has helped me and loved me, for the love they have given me. I also thank my family for loving me, my Aunt Lynn especially, and my husband for never giving up on me. Thank you.
Thank you, Allie. The next graduate is Sonia.
Hope I don't fall out. Okay. Well, I want to start by reading Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3, and it's just a reminder of where God has brought me from to where He's taken me. So I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me, and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, my goodness. There's a picture of me behind you. It gives you a good indication of where I was. Oh, there it is. I just want you all to know that I am no exception to the rule. I've tried for 2 weeks to get my mugshot, but for some reason the county that I'm from won't release it. I've been to jail not once but twice, and both arrests stem from a 10-year addiction to crystal meth. The last time I was arrested was February 29th, 2008, and at that particular moment, I literally thought the world was coming to an end. I had no idea if I would ever see the light of day ever again. And it was at that point that I realized that my life was out of control. I had nothing left of anything that was familiar. I didn't even recognize myself. But today, I am not that person. Through the power of Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. God is faithful even when I am not. When I thought the world was coming to an end, God was moving in my behalf. He already knew that on March 10th, I would move to Pensacola from Troy, Alabama, and I would move into the Carrots house, which, by the way, just happens to be my promised land. On March 12th, I accepted him as my Savior, and on March 16th, I got baptized here at Olive, and from that day, I truly started living my life for the Lord. It's not been easy, but nobody ever said that it would be. It's only because of grace, mercy, and the love of Jesus I can hold my head up and know that I will never have to be that person again. Through the strength of Christ, I can do all things. Without him, I am powerless, especially when it comes to my addiction, and my addiction is what got me to that point. I pray every day that the Lord will keep me focused on him so that I will never, ever have to go there again. God wants the very best for me, and his word said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good, not to harm you. They will give you a future and a hope." And when that picture was taken, I really thought that there was no hope or future in store for me. Things for me are different now, and the Lord has brought me a long way. As of today, I'm 9 months clean and sober. Praise God. And I have a job that I dearly love. I'm working here at Olive in the preschool. I didn't mention it, but I have a degree in elementary education. Now I'm doing the one thing that I've always wanted to do, but never did because the devil told me that I couldn't. He said that I would never be any good at it and that I would always be a drug addict. But you know what? The devil is a lie. And the best part of all of this is not only has God started to heal my wounds, but he has seen my family through all of this as well. We have grown in our faith, and we trust that there is nothing that our God can't or will not do to bring us back together as a family or draw us nearer to him. I've learned that you don't have to dwell on your past, but you certainly need to remember that each day God's grace preserves your life. Keep your heart turned toward God, and he will fill it with joy that exceeds anything you can ever imagine. And that's where I am today. I stand here before you filled with joy, especially when I look back over the last 8 months. He has come through in ways for me that are unbelievable and carried me through times and into places I could have never, ever imagined. And with all that said, I would like all of you to know that how much of a blessing this has been to me, but not only to me, but to my family as well. I want to thank this church and the pastor and Miss Debbie for allowing me the opportunity to come here and let God change my life. And I want to thank my family for always trying to understand, but never really, really could, because it's hard. And even though you couldn't understand, you never gave up on me, and you always treated me like a member of the family. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Our next graduate is Cindy.
Hi, everybody. I want to start tonight by praising God for being 9 months clean and sober today. And I want to give y'all kind of a recap of my life while I was in the pit of the drugs and Satan lead me, and then how God's lifted me out of that pit. I'm 36 years old, and I had a pretty normal life. We went to church every time the doors were open, my mom and dad, my sister and brother and I. We ate dinner at the table every night together, and everything was pretty normal till a month before I turned 16. September 25th, 1989, my father shot and killed himself in the house where we were all at. From that point on, that changed my life forever. I turned not only away from God, but from my family. The anger and bitterness just swallowed me whole, and I used to cry out to God and say, "Why? What did I do to deserve this? Or what did I do that would make my daddy not want to be with me anymore?" That hole only got filled, or I tried to fill it, I should say, with marijuana, cocaine, Lortabs, whatever I could push into my body to make me numb so I wouldn't feel that pain anymore. I got married, I had two beautiful children, and I was at every baseball game, every karate class, and it still wasn't enough. I still was aching and taking as much drugs as I could. I eventually was using cocaine from the time I woke up in the morning till the time I went to bed at night. I embezzled money from a career that I had for 18 years. And then at that point, I really thought that was my bottom. But Satan wasn't done with me quite yet. I met Miss Debbie Jeffcoat, my Sunday school teacher, took me to a Most Excellent Way meeting on a Tuesday night and met Miss Debbie. She asked me to tell her my story after the meeting. I told her what my life was like and where it was and where I wanted it to be. And she said that there would soon be a second Karis House opening and that I could have a bed there. That was not the end of the story, though, because just a few short days later, I ended myself up in jail, and that's the picture y'all are seeing now. I spent 78 days in that jail, and it was a living hell every day. I didn't get to be with my children or my family, and I had to see them behind glass. But God has lifted me out of that on my 78th day. My family came with my bag packed and took me to the Karis House 1 hour after I was out of jail. I was delivered there. And today I've been there 6 months. And I praise God for the forgiveness that they have taught me that God can give me, the healing that he has given me, and the mercies that are new every day. I forgive my father because I know we all have choices, and many of the choices I made could have taken me away from my children. Just by the grace of God, it didn't. And my family is being restored slowly. There was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain through a lot of things I did. And there's a long way to go, but I know that they love me, and they're at visitation and everything that to show their support. But there's one of them that she never gave up on me. 18 years of treating her very bad, of telling her I wish she was the one that was gone. And that's my mom. I love you. I praise God for restoring me. And I thank you, church, and I thank you, Miss Danita and Kim and Miss Marla, Miss Jackie and Miss Debbie, because I haven't always been lovable. But I thank y'all for not giving up on me. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Our next graduate is Nicole.
I'm another one that's scared to death. That was the fourth or fifth time I had gotten locked up. And makes my stomach sick. But I can tell you today that Satan has been defeated. I grew up as well in a normal family. Had big Christmases, in and out of church. But there was this void in my life that church just wasn't filling at the time. And my life consists of alcohol, prescription drugs, cocaine, and I even went as far as IV drug use. I thought I was born to be an addict. I thought that that's how God made me. And that's what I would always be. I would never be any different. I always thought I could quit on my own. I was in and out of treatment, detox facilities, tried to do it by myself. Never worked. Satan still had me in bondage. February, I had called my mother crying out for help. I was sick and tired. I was ready to give up. She told me about the Karis House, and I figured all this time I tried it on my own, it was time to try something else. So when I came to the Karis House, I was extremely angry, broken, disgusted. I didn't see a future. I didn't even know at the time if I wanted a future. After being at the Karis house for a couple of weeks, Easter Sunday, I rededicated my life to my Lord and Savior, and He pulled me out of the pit of hell. I have such freedom, and in my life, the void has been filled. God has done a mighty work in me. He has done a work that I never thought could ever, ever take place. I finally feel worthy. My family was put through so much pain and disappointment. I had completely turned my back on them, including my children. God has restored my family back to me. Can my family please stand? Hold on, I can't sit yet. I want to thank you, Mom and Dad, for never giving up on me. I love you with all my heart. I want to thank my grandmother for all your prayers. I love you too. I want to thank my brother and sister for loving me through all the pain that I've caused you. And you are so precious to me. I love you too. And to my beautiful, beautiful children, who has given me chance after chance after chance. Through Jesus Christ, I am the mother that you have always desired. And God knows I love you with all my heart. Thanks, y'all. I want to thank the church. I want to thank the teachers that volunteered their time. I want to thank Dr. Shrouse for giving me a beautiful smile. I want to thank Miss Debbie for loving me through every step that I had to take, whether it was good or bad. I want to thank Miss Jackie and Miss Marla, Miss Danita and Miss Kim for putting up with me, because we all know I am a handful. I have a scripture that I'd like to give y'all. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. He who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, and praise God, I am new. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Our next graduate is Jennifer.
I thought at that time, at that picture right there, my son had said to me the other day that I thought I was the bomb diggity in that picture. At that time. Now when I look at it, it makes me sick to my stomach. I was born here in Pensacola on September 22nd, 1971. I had very loving parents, was born in a Christian family, but always felt a big void in my life. I was on a cheerleading team, a skating team, a speed skating team, always trying to fit in somewhere. I had a best friend whose mother, at the age of 12, between 12 and 13, would drive me around with her and give us alcohol. And I can remember that feeling when I did that first drink, that that alcohol really made me feel special. I felt like I was somebody different. I could be somebody different. Little did I know that it led to a lot of destruction in my life. At the age of 13, I also started smoking marijuana. I tried to fill that void with drugs, alcohol, boys, anything I could to not feel what I wasn't feeling inside. I knew there was a God, but I just used Him really for things that I needed, to get me out of situations, to ask for things that I thought I wanted. I was arrested on July 2007 for the first time for possession of cocaine. Drugs had led my life down a pretty bad path. I tried to be a good mother, a good employee, a good wife at the time, but still it didn't feel anything. After I was arrested, I went to the Waterfront Rescue Mission in September 2007. At that time, they started teaching me the Word of God, but they also brought me here to Olive. I was in a Sunday school class with Jay Jeffcoat and started feeling like I fit in somewhere. The members here at Olive really made me feel welcome, feel special. After I graduated from the Waterfront, I had a relapse, and I had met Miss Debbie when I came here to Olive, and she told me I could come to the Karis house. Shortly after I was at the Karis house on Mother's Day, my son and I were baptized, and I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. When I was at an MEW meeting, Miss Debbie came to me and said my son was in the hospital. He had overdosed. And I just remember going into the hospital, and all the shame and guilt came right back on me again from what I've put my children through. I remember going and whispering in his ear, because the teachers that taught us at the Karis house told me, I am anointed now. I can do this now. They told me that I could tell, I can rebuke the devil, and I rebuked him over my son. And I remember telling him that God is with us. When I went home that night, I went into the backyard of the Karis house and got on my knees. And I screamed out to God that my son is yours, my daughter is yours, my life is yours. I fully surrender to you. And at that time, I felt a warmth and just a peace over me. And ever since then, I've had that peace. Philippians 4:13 has gotten me through a lot of hard times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I stand now in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I want to thank Miss Debbie for giving me a chance. I also want to thank Miss Danita and Miss Kim and Miss Jackie for structure, and Miss Marla. They've been there through me. And I also wanted to thank Olive, because not only have I been gotten more involved and feel comfortable, my children have too. And if they would, I'd like my daughter and son to stand up right there. My son is involved with the youth group now. He comes to church on Wednesdays. They both come and eat with me here. They're in church every Sunday. And it's not only changed my life, but it's changed our lives for so much better. And I just want to thank everybody. Thank you. We also, the graduates, wanted to present these to Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie, these represent. These represent not only how beautiful she is on the inside, but on the outside also.
Feel very unworthy, but very blessed to be able to do what I do every day. I thank you, Jesus. We've presented these ladies, but last year we had four that graduated, and we had their ceremony in the blue room. And the pastor said, next year we're going to do it in the church. So they didn't have an opportunity for you to hear their stories, but I'd like for them to share where they were, but where they are now, and how God has kept his hand on them. So I'm going to bring up now Michelle.
Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle. I am very honored and blessed to be up here with these beautiful women. I would like to thank God for being faithful and true and fulfilling his promises. I also would like to thank Olive Baptist Church for your prayers, your offerings, your donations, and your love. I also want to thank the church for my employment. I thank all the women and men who come to the Cares House to minister to us. I thank Miss Marla, Jackie, Kim, and Danita, and Aaron for speaking truth to me. I thank my mom and my dad for not giving up on me and taking care of my son while I'm at the Cares House. Last but not least, I thank Miss Debbie for loving me when I looked like that. Well, it's not up there anymore. Like that. It was February 10th, 2007, the day this mugshot was taken. I stole a truck from my dad's auto body shop, and he called law on me. It had to be the hardest thing he has ever done for me. I was arrested and booked into Escambia County Jail. That was the last day I used drugs. Before that day, I had been living in a motel room and smoked crack every day. I did not bathe, brush my teeth, or wash my hair. I did things with men that I never thought I would do. I stole, I lied, and I hustled anyone who came near me. It was a deep, dark time in my life. I was lost, and I was dead. This should not have been any different from all the other times I had been arrested. The past 7 years had been a blur of depression and self-seeking, Department of Corrections rehabs, jail time, and work release. February 10th, 2007 was the beginning of my new life. Do not be fooled and think that Jesus only hangs out at the church. I am here to tell you, he came right up into Escambia County Jail and set me free from my crack addiction. He washed me and cleaned me up. He gave me a new heart, new skin, and new eyes. I see things totally different now. Everything is new. I have a purpose, and it is for God. He made me, and I am his. Miss Debbie Jeffcoat also came up in that jail. She told me about the Cares House. She accepted me in the program, and I was transported via sheriff's car May 16, 2007, to my new home. Since I have been at the Cares House, God has moved tremendously in my life. He not only has restored me and healed me, he has put my family back together. I love spending time with my 2-year-old son, James. I also enjoy hanging out with my parents. I now have 2 jobs here at the church. I really have a passion for helping the needy and homeless people. I also try to encourage the single moms and dads who call for help to never give up. God always opens a door when he closes another. I also go to PJC and I major in photography. I look at this mugshot and clearly remember that day. If my dad had not called the law, I would have never went to the Cares House. I would have never been reconciled to my parents and my son. And most of all, I would have never met Jesus. I would like to finish with a scripture that has spoke to me many, many times. It comes from Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Michelle. Our next graduate is Christy.
Hello, everyone. My name's Christy. Jesus came into my heart on May 17, 2007, and I've been here at the Cares House for 18 months. The first thing I want to do is praise my Lord Jesus Christ and give him all the honor and glory for standing here today. God has really had his hands on me when I was out there on drugs. When you're on drugs, you don't realize how he protects you from all kinds of evil. But now I do know he was protecting me and keeping me alive all those years. In the year 2006, I spent 9 months in the county jail, the longest I have been clean in 17 years. I had a little time for my head to clear from all the drugs. It was there that I realized that I really needed some major help to help me stay off drugs. When I was released, I went back out there for 6 months. I finally hit rock bottom one day and realized I didn't know where else to turn. So I went to call Miss Debbie, and she returned my phone call. She accepted me to the CARES house with open arms. Since I've been at the CARES house, God has delivered me from a 17-year marijuana, morphine, heroin, and crack cocaine addiction. I have lost everyone and everything I loved, including my 4 beautiful children, Brandon, Brianna, Bodie, and Blake, because of my drug use. God has restored me with my family, and I get to see 3 of my children. I just pray to God to get to see my other baby one day. In the last few years of my addiction, I wasn't just doing drugs to get high anymore. It was become a daily battle just to feel like a normal person. So I advise all kids to just say no to drugs. It's a guaranteed road to nowhere and destruction. God has brought me out of some deep bondage and depression I was in. He gave me a reason to laugh and smile again, and I have peace and joy in my life. I now have a job here at Olive Baptist Church, and I also start college at PJC this coming year. I'm so excited about my new future. I was sitting in class one day about a year ago wondering if I was ready to leave the CARES house. So God took me to Romans 6 and showed me some verses to remind me I was not ready. I would like to share the verses. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap? Those things resulted in death. But now that you have been set free from the sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I would like to thank God because I would not have made it without him, and I wouldn't make it without him every day. I want to thank the church for all their love, support, prayers, and donations. I want to thank Miss Debbie for all that she does for us. I want to thank the pastor and his wife for all their love and prayers they give us. I want to especially thank Kim Bates, Danita Williams, Marla, and Jackie for putting up with all us women. I want to thank all my sisters for being there for me. And I want to especially thank Dr. Shrouse and Dr. Morris for giving me a reason to smile again. And last, I want to tell my mom that I love her and thank her and my family for always praying for me and always being there for me, not giving up. I'm sorry for everything. I love each and every one of you, and I love you, Jesus, always and forever.
Thank you, Christy. Next is Jacqueline, better known as Jackie.
I praise Jesus. I praise Jesus for pulling me out of the pit of my addiction. I praise Jesus for what he's done in my spirit as well as what he's done in my life. In Luke 8, 42 through 44, there was a man who had a daughter, and she was dying. Jesus was walking in the crowd, pressed against him. And there was another lady who had been sick for 12 years. She spent all her money, and still she couldn't get healed. She came up behind Jesus, and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was made whole. I was that lady. However, my addiction was 18 years in 11 different treatment centers. I ran from treatment center to treatment center trying to get healed, but man couldn't heal me. I couldn't stop smoking crack, and crack wouldn't let me go. I entered into the Karis house last year. I was saved. However, I was bound. I was bound with bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. Halfway through the program, I kicked, I screamed, I displayed my anger, I displayed my unforgiveness. But there was a teacher there who stood up to me in the name of Jesus. And I knew it was Jesus because nobody had ever did that. At that point, she scared me so bad. I was ready to turn my life, my will, the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness over to Jesus. After I made that decision, it was like I touched the hem of his garment, and he made me whole. Jesus changed my heart. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper and not to hurt or harm you." I didn't know that. Jesus had a plan all along. At this time, I'm the house mother for Karis House too. And I'm honored. I am so honored. I'd like to take the time to thank you, Miss Debbie. Thank you for loving me, for not giving up on me. Thank you for being my spiritual mother. Thank you for being my friend, my encourager. Thank you for being my boss. Thank Pastor. Thank you for allowing me, giving me the opportunity to be a part of staff, for trusting me enough to be over these ladies. And I thank you, Olive Baptist Church, and all the teachers. You too, Miss Grace. I love you. For putting up with my mean spirit. For putting up with my poor attitude. I give God all the praise, glory, and honor for what he's done in my life.
Thank you, Jackie. Last, but certainly not least, is Carla.
I looked rough there. When I arrived at the Karis House about a month or two after I arrived, actually, Eddie Ashari came over to give his testimony. And before he started, he said, "Girls, I hope that through this story, you don't see how bad I was, but how good God is. I hope, church family, that tonight, as you've heard all of these stories, you don't see how bad we were or the bad things that we have done, but how good our God is. Jesus set me free from a life of drugs, alcohol, sex, lying, cheating, manipulating, stealing, just plain sin. I was a wretch and I was hopeless. It says in Isaiah that his arm is not too short to reach down and to save us to the uttermost. And my Redeemer did that for me. I arrived at the Karis House June 19th, 2007. I was very angry at God. In April 2006, my son Brendan died of a staph infection in his bloodstream. He was 11 days old. I remember being in that hospital and raising my hands towards my son, praying to God and believing that he could heal him. But he chose not to that day. For this, I was very angry and bitter at God. When I came to the Karis house, he gave me comfort and healed my heart and softened my heart of stone to a heart of flesh, and I forgave God. Now, y'all might think I'm crazy for saying I forgive God, but my God's strong enough to take it. He also forgave me for all the wretched things I had done. He gave me comfort. I still did not understand why he had allowed my son to die. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says that we will be able to comfort those with the same comfort that Christ himself gave us. 2 months ago, I realized reason number one why he allowed my son to go be with him. A lady came into the church and community ministries who had just lost her son. He was 5 months old. I was able to sit down and talk to this lady, feel her pain, cry with her, hug on her, and say, I know exactly how you feel. I've been there. That was my reason number one. Reason number two, I just got back from a mission trip to Mexico where I got to play with 106 little babies who are precious. They don't have a mama, but I have a heart for a child because mine's in heaven. So I was able to love on them and give them unconditional love. That's my reason number two why God showed me why. When I came into the Karis house, I believe all of us were like this. Satan had pushed us down. He had oppressed us. He had shame and guilt on us. I had very low self-esteem. He had a strong hold on me. But today I'm proud to say that Satan has been defeated by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of all of our testimonies. Church family, I am not ashamed to stand in front of you today and tell you that I'm completely and utterly in love with my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my Redeemer. He is El Shaddai. He is all sufficient. He's all I need. He's all any of us need. I thank you, Olive Baptist Church, for loving on us. You don't know how much it means when one of you comes and stops and says, you know what, I've been praying for y'all. That touches our hearts. Everyone who volunteers and just loves on us, all my choir family, I love every single one of you in this church. At first, let me just say that we were all skeptical of why y'all were being so nice to us because we weren't used to it. We thought y'all wanted something in return, but now we realize it's the love of Jesus. I want to thank Bubba for all of her extra hours staying at the office to about 9:30 having some come to Jesus meetings that she'll never get paid for in human form, but she'll get extra jewels in heaven, I believe, for it. My mouth is so dry. I want to thank Kim and Danita for all the behind-the-scenes work. These ladies put together some awesome stuff. Y'all don't see them a whole bunch, but they're the reason that we have food in that pantry over there and that all these white Christmas trees are out here and that those phones get answered every day. It's because of them two ladies right there. I love y'all. I want to thank Miss Marla and Miss Jackie for putting up with all of our foolishness. And especially, I want to thank my mom and daddy. I have a heavenly daddy, but I got an earthly daddy. Mama, thank you for all those nights that I didn't come home and you prayed for me. For my protection, I know that I'm alive because of your prayers. And daddy, I thank you for loving me no matter what. And you know that what that means. Thank you.
We're almost finished, Pastor. I told him we were going to stay in our time frame. There have been a lot of tears at the Karis house. It hadn't always been Hallelujah Square over there, I can promise you that.
But there's been a lot of laughter and a lot of healing. We have two ladies, Dee and Sonia, that are going to come tell you now a few of the funnier moments. And usually these things happen when they first got there. They didn't know the scriptures that well. They know a lot more now.
Y'all come share.
These were pretty funny to us, and I hope they're just as funny to you. But if not, just bear with us. We didn't know a whole lot about the Bible when we got here, but we were given a homework assignment. It was to study the Hebrews chapter 11, which happens to be the Hall of Faith, and to pick our favorite character. Well, when Miss Mary Lynn asked Jennifer who her favorite character was, she said, John the Baptist. Hello, Jennifer. John the Baptist is not in the faith chapter. You need to do your homework, girl.
We learned that Job was so blessed that his steps were lined with cream. And Sonia and Cindy just couldn't imagine anyone wanting to come visit Job with butter poured all over his porch steps.
Okay. Allie asked where the proper way to set the table came from, and Jennifer told her that it was that it came from the Lord's Supper, and Allie believed her.
Michelle was amazed that 700 limousines fit in an area the size of a football field, and the driver stood outside the car and blew their horns, but the teacher was talking about shofar, not chauffeur.
Pretty good, Dean. Okay, and we learned that Methuselah was the longest living man, and he lived over like 900 years.
Yeah.
A little over 900. And Cindy said, you mean the story about the woman with the snakes in her hair is real? That's Medusa, not Methuselah.
Oh, Lord. Carla just recently realized that to not lie was one of the Ten Commandments. And Sonia thought that to bear false witness meant to write a bad check.
Jeez, we've come a long way. I think Leah asked, we were asked to define mercy one night, and Allie said, I know, that's when you've had enough and holler, Uncle, Uncle.
Oh, Sonia says she admired how the prophet Jeremy interceded for others.
Not Jeremy, Jeremiah. And Miss Kathy Carpenter went around the room one night and asked, "Who were we more like, Martha or Mary?" And I said, "Well, I'm like Martha Stewart, of course. I'm always in the kitchen, busy doing something."
Cindy asked Sonia, where's the story of Ruth? Is it in the book of Exodus? No, Ruth earned her own book in the Bible.
It's a little bit past Exodus, Cindy. And Allie told us that if she hadn't learned anything, she learned one thing, that was that Mary washed Jesus' hair with her feet. Thank you.
Wait, one more. We learned that Moses stuttered, that he was not of eloquent speech, and Sonia said, I never noticed Moses stuttered like she knew him.
Thank you.
I want to thank you, Pastor, for allowing these ladies to share tonight with our church family. And for always being supportive of the CARES House.
Well, why don't you say thanks to these ladies one other time and let them know you appreciate them. Amen. That's good. Just remain standing. You've never been to a mother-daughter tea like that, I guarantee you. Yeah. Hey, we want to take a moment tonight, and we're going to sing a couple songs. We've felt in our heart the tug of the Spirit of God You may be here tonight and outside of Christ. You don't know the Lord. I'm telling you, one thing you heard again and again and again and again and again. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel worthy. Well, let me tell you, friend, none of us are worthy. But the Lord Jesus, when he touches your life, he lifts you from that worthless pit, and you understand that you are precious unto him. It's like you are the apple of his eye. That's the very center. I had some work done on my eye just the other day. My left eye didn't give me some trouble. I had to go to a retina specialist. He said, Pastor, just lie back in the chair. He said, I'm going to shine a bright light. I've never seen a bright light like that before. And he opened my eye. I just could not keep it open because I wanted to protect that with everything I could. I mean, I wanted to hit him. I knew he wanted to do the right thing, but I just couldn't, because there's something. Let me tell you, the way that you'll protect that, that's the way the Lord feels about you. He protects you and he cares for you. And some of you have never received that kind of love. We're going to sing a couple of stanzas. Dr. Day is going to lead us. And when we sing this song, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus, I want you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd like somebody to pray for you. You need just a word of encouragement. And we're going to encourage you to come during this invitation time. Doc, you sing for us. And while he sings, and God calls, you step out and you come just now. Unto the Lord, unto his mercy, unto his care.